Yes, the point here is that the effect is like the cause, not in its material nature. So we're not saying material causality is the basis for similarity. We are saying efficient causality is the basis for the similarity. Because the material cause has to do with the stuff out there, whereas the efficient cause has to do with the agent or cause. While the agent will be similar to what he produces, the material on which it is produced will not necessarily be similar to the agent. While my mind will be similar to the stuff I produced on this page will not necessarily be similar to my mind. Okay, conclusion is God is like the world insofar as he is the efficient, intrinsically related cause to the world. He is dislike the world insofar as he is not the instrumental or material cause of the world. Now, it seems to me that that answers David Hume. It answers all the objections, but I want to take a few just to make sure that we understand analogy and do not misunderstand it. If you were reading a book, for example, Anthony Kinney's Five Ways, who is an atheist critiquing this and Aquinas' view. If you were reading a book by an atheist critiquing this view, he would say things like this. Well, if the effect must resemble the cause, then mosquitoes must resemble malaria. Because mosquitoes cause malaria, but obviously mosquitoes don't look like malaria, so your whole theory is false. To which you would answer, very good. Very good. I won't take the wrong. I heard the right one. The mosquitoes are not the efficient cause of malaria. Malaria parasite is the efficient cause of malaria parasites, and they're always the same. Every malaria parasite is always look like malaria parasites that cause them. The mosquito is only the carrier of the malaria parasite, so the mosquito is an instrumental cause, not an efficient cause of malaria. So they're taking an illustration, a false analogy, and trying to refute when they're really confusing instrumental cause. They may as well say the pen is like the author's mind. It's exactly the same thing. Anybody not understand what's wrong with it? They're confusing instrumental cause and efficient cause because mosquitoes don't cause malaria. Malaria parasites cause malaria parasites, and mosquitoes are the carrier or instrumental cause. Let me give you another illustration. The hammer broke the mirror, but a broken mirror doesn't look like a hammer. But obviously the hammer was the cause of breaking the mirror, but the effect doesn't look like the cause. Material cause, remember the four causes in Aristotle? Material cause is the stuff out of which. The material cause of the chair is the wood. And efficient cause is the agent by which, the carpenter. So efficient cause is that by which, the carpenter. Material cause is the stuff out of which. So the agent by which, heat, producing soft, producing hardness in the egg. The hardness in the egg is due to the material condition of an egg. That's the stuff out of which eggs are made, and that gets hard. Wax doesn't. Wax is a different material cause it gets soft. All right, so what do you do with the hammer and the mirror? Okay, first of all, the hammer is only an instrumental cause, isn't it? The efficient cause is the person who's using the hammer. And he's the one that gives motion to the hammer. And one similarity you can see right away is that motion communicates motion. He gave the motion to the hammer, and the hammer gave motion to the mirror. Act communicates act, so there's a similarity. It's obviously different because you got a material, a thing that splits apart when you hit it with another hard object, and that's due to the material condition of the object. Or if the person in his mind envisioned use hammer, break mirror, then you've got another similarity. My mind wants to break the mirror. I use this instrument to break the mirror. The mirror is now broken, and it corresponds to what I envision to be done. So there are two similarities there in one case, and at least one in another case. I think you'll find that every so-called refutation of this always does the same thing. They always make the mistake of saying, there is no similarity because there is potency over here, and potency is different. But that's precisely what we admit. We say analogy is a difference and a similarity. The similarity is in that act produces act. The difference is that an act also produces things with potency. The potency will be different. The actuality will be the same. Now let's apply this to God, and we can see why you can both prove the existence of God and why the theistic God is correct. We experience change. You and I are changing beings. We come to know, we come to be, we experience change. All change involves both a potentiality and an actuality. Because you couldn't change if you didn't have the potential for the change. So since we experience, undeniably experience, that we are changing beings, we are beings that are but could be something else, and sometimes do become something else by change. So we are actualities and potentialities, but no potentiality can actualize itself. No steel can make itself into a skyscraper. No print in the drawer of a printer can make itself into the newspaper. Potentiality does not actualize itself. Therefore, there must be a pure actuality. Why? Well, there can't even be one step. Forget about the infinite regression. This is a vertical argument, not a horizontal one. This is not the Kalam argument where you argue against an infinite regress. Therefore, there must be a beginning. This is right now. I am act potency. I could not be, but I am. Why must the first thing beneath me be pure actuality? One at a time. Couldn't self-cause my act, but why must there be something that's pure act causing me? It's still warm. Why is there something rather than nothing? Why is there something that is but could not be? We are contingent. See, that kind of being is contingent. Why is an act potency being contingent? Because it could not be. And everything that could not be must depend on something that is and could not not be. Why? Because if it could not be, it couldn't be the cause of something else that could not be. It doesn't even account for its own existence. How is it going to account for somebody else's? The parachute isn't holding itself up, so it can't say, "Help! I'll help you, your parachute didn't open." If a being doesn't account for its own existence, it can't account for somebody else's. An act potency being does not account for its own existence. The only kind of being that could possibly account for its existence, that must immediately be there, is a being that is actual, but it has no potential not to be. Because if you get another being that's actual and has the potential not to be, it's not even holding itself up, let alone holding something else up. So the very first being outside of act potency being must be pure actuality. Now, pure actuality then means no potency. What else would follow? If there is a pure actuality, what else would follow? The first thing that would follow is that this being must only be like this being. Why? Because it's pure act and that one has potency. Second thing that would follow is this being must be unchangeable. Tell me why. Why must a pure act have no change? The only way you can change is have the potency to change. If you don't have any potency to change, you can't change. This being must also be eternal, not temporal. Why? That's right. Time is a form of change. Time is measuring according to a before and after. If you have a before and after, you're not an unchanging being. You had it before you changed and after you changed. If you're an unchanging being, you must be eternal. Thirdly, this must be an indivisible, i.e. simple being. That's the traditional attribute of simplicity. These are the so-called metaphysical attributes of God now we're unpacking from pure actuality. Why must it be simple? There's no principle of divisibility. All you have is pure actuality. You'd have to have some potency to have a principle of divisibility. The only reason I differ from God is because I have some potential. If I were pure actuality, you can't have two pure actualities, can't have two unlimited infinite beings. Therefore, there's no possibility for there to be divisibility in God. He must be absolutely simple. Another common sense way to put it is you can't tear something apart that has no parts. Something that's pure act has no parts. Composed being have a partly act and partly potency. And you can tear apart what has potency and act. You can't tear apart what is pure act. So far we've got an unchanging, eternal, indivisible. Let's try another one. Infinite. Why must a being that's pure actuality be infinite? That's right. Potency is the only thing that gives a boundary. Suppose I am just good. Suppose you run into something that is just goodness. It's not really good or very good, but it's just goodness. It's infinite. If it has a boundary, if it has a potency and could be better than it is, then it's not infinite goodness. But of course, if it doesn't have a potency, then it simply is goodness. So here's the simplest way to put it. God is being, everything else has being. God is goodness, everything else has goodness. God is knowledge. That's what we mean by omniscient. Everything else has knowledge. And if you have it, but aren't it, you're a creature. If you are it, you're the creator. Hence, we have a proof for God, analogy for God, all the traditional attributes of God, and prove theism, because we got an infinite God and a finite creature, and have a similarity between the two.